Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. We're having a little fun tonight with love and love languages, getting y'all revved up for the Valentine Day. I could get into the history of St. Valentine, but I will not. It's morbid, actually. But anyhow, we're talking about love because, you know, that's how other people perceive St. Valentine's Day. So that's what we're going to go with. And I'm talking about love languages in a little different way. So for those of you who are brand new to my show and this station on the Pleasure Zone, we talk about sex and pleasure and bodies and all kinds of different things to do with that, from the psychology, the sociology, the you name it, history, mystery, all of it. We talk about it all. And one of the things that I talk about a lot is the five love languages. So just know, I actually really love the five love languages. I think they're a really great fundamental way to look at how people relate to each other and how people love each other. And my thought was, what haven't I actually mentioned about the love languages? And my other thought was, is there something missing? So this is what I'm sharing with you tonight, is what I kind of feel about this. So what we're going to be talking about, I'll recap for you what the love languages are in no particular order. And this time, guys, I wrote it down so that I don't forget, because there's always one I forget, which is so funny because it's usually the one that I'm like needing to work on that at that particular time. It's not always the same one that I forget, but there's always one. So I wrote it down so that I'm not sitting here going, what is that other one? What one? And then my producer goes off and they go do research for me, so I look all smart while I'm here live with you guys. Sometimes when I'm looking for stuff and you guys wonder like, wow, what if she came out with that out of nowhere? That's my producers. And if you want to see what's happening with production, you can actually see the behind the scenes production, what goes on. If you like behind the scenes stuff, I do. You can always head over to theinspiredchoicesnetwork.com, go into the chat room. You can join us in there, ask questions, have fun, and come and see all the things I get prompted to do and all the information that gets thrown my way when I forget something. So yeah, it's not just me being a smart ass up here. It's just like I got a team behind me. So yay me. So let's recap on the love languages. What are they? How many are there? Are there seven? Are there five? What's happening? How many people know how many there are? Well, Gary Chapman says there's five. So we're going to go with that. Though there are some other teachings say there's seven. I don't actually remember what the extra two are. That was in a training I did for sex and intimacy coaching, but man, that was years ago, and I don't remember what the other extras that got added in there were. I like the five. They cover pretty much everything, and so we're just going to recap. So the five love languages, we got touch, words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, and acts of service. So everybody actually has all of these to some degree, but you'll have your primary love languages, and then you'll have your secondary love languages. And within love languages, we have dialects of love languages. So Gary Chapman has done an amazing job at figuring this all out. And he did that by actually he was working with couples as I don't know if he was a minister or a pastor. I know he was working in a church a lot, and he also was doing therapy with people. So what he found over time was that there was certain consistency across the board about what people were feeling like they were lacking. Like, if they didn't feel loved, why didn't they feel loved? And it would be like, oh, I didn't feel loved because I didn't get a hug today. Okay. And he could find that there was like this overarching kind of umbrella of, oh, that's touch. And then within that, we've got the nuances, right? So sometimes the love language of touch can be specifically the need to have sex in order to feel loved. Or sometimes the love language of touch is where you need to be held so that you feel connected to feel loved, or holding hands, or PDA, so public display of affection. That kind of thing will help you feel loved. So we have these umbrellas, and then within them, underneath those umbrellas, we have those love languages, and underneath them we have the dialects. And those dialects are what help kind of get refined and defined. When I'm working with couples, one of the things I'll do as a reference to certain parts of the love languages, to just to try and understand if both partners are on the same on this on the same wavelength. And oftentimes, when people are feeling disenchanted by their relationship, or discouraged, or maybe they don't feel loved or seen or heard, it's because one or many of those love languages aren't being met. So somebody could be saying, well, I work all the time and I bring home the bacon. Isn't that showing love? Well, it could be to somebody whose dialect of acts of service would be that they want to be provided for by somebody who goes out and does work. So, but it wouldn't be showing love to somebody who wants quality time, because the quality time person prefers that you spend an hour with them a day than an hour making money. They feel more loved by your presence than they do by what you can provide for, say in material things. Hope that kind of gives you guys a bit of sense on that. I have done quite a few shows on the love languages, so you can go back and reference them, but go to the expert as well. Go listen to Gary Chapman on the five love languages to go learn more about that. So we've got some other ones of, so the question is, if we know what these love languages are, and we know how we like to feel loved, and this love language has been around for a while, they've been defined for a while, if we know what they are, then how come sometimes we just don't feel loved? How come we don't feel the whole sense of whether we're, providing love to our partner in the way that they want to receive it? Even, our children, our family, our friends, all of them have love languages, and we can deliver that to everyone, including, even in my business with my clients, is I often will listen for them for what they require with love languages and try my best to provide that. So whether it's, says, whether it's somebody needs words of affirmation, because they might say there's usually key things that they say where you're like, okay, you need words of affirmation. And then I will find things that are true to give them words of affirmation about themselves. So if you start to give words of affirmation that you, when you're affirming somebody, it should be something that you can put your energy behind, that you truly believe is true. Otherwise, you'll come across as a liar. So words of affirmation, make them true. That way, the person trusts you, believes you, and can reciprocate feeling love, right? So love in this sense is not, love of a client is not like the love I have for my husband. So, although some people, when they haven't felt very loved for a long time, they get confused by that. So then it's like, creating boundaries there. But I feel, and I feel this is true, is that we're allowed to love everyone. It's just the way that we express it might create confusion or whatever it happens to be. Sometimes you can love somebody, and as much as you truly admire them, love them, you just can't be around them too. You might admire them, but you don't like their politics, so you're not around them. That can happen too. So we're going to talk about how the love languages are basically, they're more like a behavioral, where they don't necessarily speak to requiring emotional safety first. Where, say, for example, having quality time, we might give people different tips and tools on how to have quality time with somebody. But as much as you can be trying to perform that act of quality time, there might not be the basis of safety first, feeling safe in the environment. So if you're having quality time, we'll give you an example. If you're having quality time with your partner, and your partner might be, okay, so let's say the quality times you're having like a lovely dinner. We'll make it romantic because Valentine's is coming up. You're having a candlelight dinner, and we'll make it candlelight actually specifically. There might be some music playing. There might be things that would normally maybe get somebody in the groove and you would think it would help them feel calm. But, you happen to be in the room with somebody who has a fear of fire, and now you've lit a candle in front of them, right? So they don't feel safe, even though you could assume that it was like, oh, I should be fine. This is romantic. Again, always knowing what has the person feel safe can help create the safe room. So if they start to get nervous because they're like, oh my gosh, can you pull, blow out the candles? It's not about necessarily, I don't want the romance, but it could be, I don't feel safe. I need those candles out. I love candles, but I do know quite a few people who have had bad experiences with candles and actually don't like being around them. So I use that as an example because I actually know that to be true and people who have experienced that. So people can feel unloved by that because it's like they're not, you haven't heard them and you haven't necessarily heard their pain points around the candle situation. Maybe they told you 50 times that you're afraid of candles, and yet you're trying to create this quality time and you throw the candles in, and all of a sudden now they don't feel safe. I'm trying to give you like a really simple example, but there are far more examples that are a little bit more in depth that you could think about, or that I could reference, but then the whole show would just be different reference points, and that can get awfully boring. So we're not going to do that, kids. All right. So one of the things also to look at is how certain things, like I'll give you an example from my own life. So for me, after experiencing an immense amount of trauma in my 20s, what I tried to do was like take back the night. I don't know if you remember that saying, but there was like this take back the night thing that happened years ago. And it was really about empowering women so that they felt more safe, just being able to go be expressive in the night. So take back the night. And so I remember, so one of the things I remember after all the trauma, I remember many things, by the way, but won't get into all the details, but what I remember is that I needed to somehow feel like I was worthy, that I was attractive, that I was in control. So I went from being completely traumatized, and this might sound counterintuitive, but it's actually happening to several people, is that I didn't like withdraw. What I did was I went to try and solve it through thinking I was empowering myself, but becoming hypersexual and like acting out sort of. So that wasn't the best. And but I have a kid now, so I guess that worked out okay. And then as I when I met my husband, my body actually became much calmer, and I realized I didn't have to prove myself so much. So I wasn't in that like hyper wasn't in hypersexuality as much anymore. Although I realized, and I recently said to him, I'm like, I used to like think I needed to like prove myself. It was like an unconscious thing I was doing. And he just laughed. He's like, "Oh, that's cute. You finally realized that I love you." I'm like, yeah. It took me 12 years. I knew somewhere. I knew in my logical brain that the things you did represented love, but I needed to put it together in my own way, and kind of go through a few things to go, you know what? Maybe I don't have to do those. Maybe I don't have to be certain ways just to, have you love me. So some self-reflection and self-awareness helps. All right, we're going to head to the next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So today's topic, we're talking about the shadow side of the love languages and connection. And I gave you a brief on the love languages just before break, and I gave you some examples of what like not being aware of somebody's love languages might bring up, and then how we might think that even if we're doing everything right, that should show the person that we love them, but sometimes they still don't feel loved. So feedback, I know this is crazy, but ask for feedback. If you work in a corporation, there's oftentimes where you'll have a review every few months, 3 months, 6 months, a year, or whatever. There's reviews. And the funny thing is, for some reason, people have decided that like we don't do reviews in relationships. We absolutely can and benefit from doing reviews in our relationships, whether it's monthly, bi-monthly, you pick the time, but do a review. Review certain things. Do you actually feel like your love languages are being delivered? Do you feel like, so, and within those, you're looking at things like words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, and gifts. Are these things being delivered? Do you feel loved? Do you feel respected? Because respect should go in tandem with love. And do you feel challenged for growth? Challenging your partner is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So challenging each other to grow as human beings, to to become more conscious, to become more kind, to be more willing to just like experience things and curiosity. So that kind of challenging, it's like, don't keep, you know, if you don't challenge each other, things are going to get dull fast. If you're not willing to do reviews, you're going to end up falling short at some point where you're going to go, I don't know, all this time has gone by and it's been crap for 12 years. And I don't know why. It's because you haven't sat back to evaluate how's it going so far. If you're a company owner, you need to do reviews with your employees. That way, you know about, they know about their progress. They know whether they're on track. They know what's working, what's not working. They know where there's room for improvement. The same thing applies in relationships. I don't know why I felt so compelled to say that. But anyway, we're going to be looking at the shadow side of each love language. I'll give you a quick kind of like brief on that just so we can, you know, get that under your belt. So the shadow of words of affirmation, let's think about what's the opposite of giving somebody kudos. It would be, the shadow side would be like seeking it, seeking validation from somebody. I need somebody to tell me that, no, my butt's just right in those jeans. Just an example. Or being emotionally dependent on your partner. Like they're the reason why you feel fulfilled. And if their words of affirmation, like them sending you a few words of love here and there is what fills you, and you depend on that to keep going, emotional dependency is a shadow side of the words of affirmation. So if you feel like you're going through that and you just need to feel more secure, so here's another one. We're going to throw in attachment theory, but if somebody has, if they don't have secure attachment, so if you are securely attached, you probably don't have emotional dependency. But if you're not, then you, all the other kind of attachment styles may lead you to have emotional dependency. So, and I did a show on attachment styles and the love languages and how they go together. I think it was like a year or two ago. So you can go back and listen to that whole hour on that. But the words of affirmation can lead to somebody constantly needing you to give feedback. Or nowadays it's like texting, right? Like if somebody texts and you're expecting them to text within like 3 minutes, or it's like, oh my God, I'm rejected. I need somebody to write to me and tell me great things and tell me how good I am. Without that, I'm not feeling fulfilled or satiated in my life. So it's the depending on it, having it and having it be a bonus and like going, oh, that's lovely, I love it. That's one thing. But when you depend on it to keep you going, if it's like your minerals in your life, your like your sustenance for life, and without it, you literally would die. That means you're not giving yourself words of affirmation first. That's another thing to think about, is all love languages, whatever your love languages, especially your primary love languages, if you're not delivering them to you first, but you expect others to deliver them to you, you will probably find yourself feeling truly disappointed in relationships and life. Always look at, what are my love languages? Where am I feeling fulfilled with them and where am I not? Where can I give this to me first? And then everybody else gifting you the love languages is a bonus. So, you know, how do you do words of affirmation for yourself? It's something called affirmations. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but you can actually, a friend of mine, I think she recently did, Danielle, you'll have to tell me, recently did a little course on affirmations. If so, we can pass on the info for her affirmations course. Yes, she did. So that you can go over to her website. I think it's Danielle Carter. Oh, her show is called Crafting affirmations that work. That sounds awesome. So yes, you can either Google that or you can find her through Donielle.com, DonNielle.com. So yeah, affirmations for yourself. Start there. Words of affirmation. So I think I've told you guys this one before. I know I have because I love it. And I've told this story about my grade three teacher many, many times, but she had us do affirmations every day. And one of her words of affirmations that she had on the board that I have memorized since I was 42, almost 43 years ago, was a thing that we would say was, I am lovable and capable. What a great way to start, right? There's an affirmation. I am lovable and capable. So for the so many, I think it just summarizes so much. I think it was so great. My teacher was like ahead of her time. It was like the 80s. Nobody was talking affirmations unless they were in like a recovery group, which I think she might have been in a recovery group like AA or something. Looking back, she brought a lot of AA values to the classroom. So words of affirmation. And if you are trying to seek validation from others so that you feel, so what does it mean to seek validation? Seeking validation means that other people tell you that you're good enough, smart enough, that you are lovable, that you are capable. So start with you. I am lovable. I am capable. Then we move on to the acts of service. And the shadow side of acts of service is where you can start to resent doing things for people. You know, the martyr kind of comes in with that. So I'm always doing, doing, doing. I do everything for everybody all the time because you haven't also probably been willing to ask other people to provide or to work with you on your doing, doing, doing acts of service. So I hear this a lot from mothers who also at the same time like refuse to insist on having chores. Chores are good. Chores are good for your health. They're good for your life. They're good for your self-esteem. But there are lots of mothers who won't give, or parents, I'll just generalize that because there are lots of single dads out there too. But if you're not willing to give chores and hold people accountable for their life and their actions, you're going to end up, you know, breeding children who are pretty dependent on systems, pretty dependent on others, not very functional. So yeah, it's not doing them a service. It's a complete disservice. So if you are, and also then the other people, you know, that end up in their life that end up doing things for them, like the laundry and the this and the that, are going to resent the crap out of them. So acts of service can go pretty far into also people pleasing by doing things for people, even if you're tired and you're like, that's again the martyr syndrome coming in, like I always do for everyone, do 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 do. If you're doing that, then you need to look at the underlying reason. And a lot of times people are doing people pleasing is because the core of it is trauma. So trauma at the core of that. So that's something that you want to look at, and you want to be able to work through the trauma that's probably at the core of all that. And then we have the shadow side of quality time. And the shadow side of quality time can be like where you end up spending inappropriate amounts of time with people. And by inappropriate, it's like, do you need to sleep with your 12-year-old child in the same bed with like all the family members sleeping together? Some people do this. It's like it's like family sleeping. Or I can't remember the word, name of it. But if somebody doesn't want to do that, but they're told that they have to because there's pressure involved, the pressure of spending time together, that can create some really strange relationship dynamics. In psychology, it's called enmeshment. And then there's also another, you know, thing that can occur with quality time, the shadow side of quality time, which is people not wanting to have any quality time on their own, right? So like I was saying before, you need to do these for yourself first. Do quality time with you. If you're always seeking for others to fulfill your quality time and you have a fear of being alone, then you need to also look at what's coming from there too, which is probably, there's probably some underlying stuff around abandonment that needs to be healed. So you can see these and you can see how some people will, like, you could be providing quality time, but then the person gets really upset. It's like, well, there's, you should spend more time with me and more time. And then all of a sudden you don't have your friends anymore. Or you've ostracized, you know, your whole life from a whole bunch of people, because they're insisting that you're not fulfilling their love language of quality time, which I once lived with a narcissist who everything was about him, quality time, acts of service, all of it was like doing all that would show love. And there was no love because he couldn't, he didn't love himself and he couldn't love others. So that wasn't going to happen. So the shadow sides, there's shadow sides to all of these, right? The shadow side to physical touch. Actually, I need to go to my commercial break. So we'll talk about the shadow side to physical touch and the shadow side to gifts when we come back. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. I'm your host, Milica Jelinic, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who haven't yet gone over to iTunes and loved my show, given it a 5-star review and like wrote great things about me, please go do that now. I would so appreciate it. And I'll know if you did because I can see when reviews come in and I appreciate when they do. So I also get to see, you know, comments on all of the YouTubes and I get to see your emails when they come through as well. So I love connecting with you guys and please, you know, connect with me. It brings me joy and also gives me ideas for shows. So a lot of times when people are writing me emails, they might be telling me stories about things that have happened in their life or things they might be struggling with or things they're curious about. And it's always a great source for me to be able to look at that. And then you guys get to hear about it through show topics. I never name names, so just know that you will have anonymity. I will just utilize your questions as a reflection point for the show. So go like me on iTunes. I'd appreciate that. Follow, like, blah, blah, blah. Look for the pleasure zone. Always look for the pleasure zone. All right. So the shadow side of physical touch. So one of the things, the shadow side of physical touch is like where somebody's, you know, touching you with no consent. That is not okay. And as I was thinking about this during the commercial break, I worked with a lady once, and I remember her coming to work one day, and she's a little bruised up. And I was like, what on earth happened? And we'd been talking the day before, somewhere that week, we'd been talking about things. And I said, you know, you don't have to give your husband a hand job like every night. You have choice. Just because you're married, you're not obligated to have sex with him. And I think that was revolutionary for her. She probably was never told that. She was probably taught and told that, you know, it's your husband, you do what's told of you. Also, for religious reasons, she probably was told that. And then when she decided to have choice and she said to her husband that she didn't want to, he physically harmed her. So that kind of, that kind of physical touch would be a shadow side, right? Obligating somebody to touch you and then harming them for not doing it would be what most people would call sexual assault. Yeah. And then also assault on top of it. So that is the shadow side. We don't really need to get into more details on physical touch shadow sides. Go look at the Epstein files. And the shadow side of gifts. So the shadow side of gifts is that sometimes people will, if you start giving gifts to people, and because that might be one of your primary love languages, and hint, hint, nudge, nudge, anytime somebody does these things a lot, that's usually their primary love language. So if somebody gives gifts frequently, probably that's their primary love language, and that's something that they want to receive in return. And I worked for a family once, and the mother was like the all-time best gift giver of all time. And she probably still is. And she had like a whole kind of like shop in their basement, even with like fancy bags and ribbons and tissue papers. Oh my God, it was so fun. And she had stuff that she would go out, she would see something and she'd think of somebody and she'd actually tuck it away for them for later, for like their birthday. So come your birthday, you'd have this like plethora of gifts. It was like crazy. And it was amazing because they were things that she was thinking about you for like the whole year. It was nuts. What a gift giver. And I know that was something important to her too. And I'm just like one of the worst gift givers of all time. And it just never felt like I could like provide the gifts that she, you know, require, you know, just like match that level of love language through gifts. I didn't even know how. Anybody who knows me realizes how like utterly crap I am at gift giving. It really takes me some special effort to really sit with gift giving. It's also not my number one thing of how to feel loved. So it's like, okay, nice. I'd rather spend time with you. I'd rather spend time and cuddle. And that would be, that's thank you. Happy birthday. that's my favorite way to feel loved. So though what can start to happen is that people can start to expect that from you, right? And that gets really expensive. So if people are expecting you to give all the time, and then you stop, and then all of a sudden, what can sometimes happen then is people pull away because they were using you for what you were giving to them. So whether it's money that you're giving for gifts or whether it's, you know, things you've gone out and purchased, and all of a sudden that stops, then you might start to feel used, I would think. And that you might also start to feel like with gifts, if your partner needs a lot of gifts from you, then you might start to think that they only love you for what you can buy them. So that can get a little conflicting as well. And that might not be true, but if their way to feel loved is through gifts, then you just got to figure out how to not break the bank on doing that. Like I've mentioned before, all love languages, we have all of them, but just some are a little bit more important than others. Like I still randomly get gifts for people I know, but it's not necessarily connected to holidays. It'll be seriously so random that be like, wow, like my best friend, I got her this mug once that's like, I can't remember if she was on tonight, I would ask her. But it was something like drink up, and then at the bottom of the cup is like you were poisoned or something. Anyway, but sometimes I'll find things that are just like weird and funny and remind me of that person or their humor, and then that's what they get. Or like my husband loves funny little treats. So, like turtles, chocolates, and like things. I don't know. So sometimes I'll just like randomly bring treats. And I don't buy him like big presents because he doesn't need anything. So he whenever he needs something, he buys it for himself. So how do you give gifts to somebody who has everything? You find little funny, fun things that they enjoy and you give it to them. But you don't need to break the bank on that too, because you don't want your love being tied to your gift giving completely. Like you don't want to break the bank on that. And you don't want your worth and your love worth to be tied to that either. So one of the questions to kind of like self-examine with is, am I giving love or am I trying to secure safety? Like, are you giving gifts so the people stay with you? Are you touching so the person doesn't leave you? Are you spending a lot of time with the person so that you don't feel afraid of being alone, but also so that they can never miss you? Or, are you doing too much, like acts of service? Are you running yourself ragged so that that person feels, so that you feel secure in the relationship, like they need you because you do everything around the house? Or do you also, need somebody to validate you through words of affirmation? Does that help you feel secure? So, are you giving love or are you trying to secure safety? Are you receiving love or is your partner trying to secure safety? So, those are just some little wacky, weird things to think about, because safety is important to all of us. And most people have experienced some kind of level of trauma, or they've had, some kind of maybe abandonment, whether that's through death or divorce or just people leaving. Like, chances are you've had somebody abandon you in your life, and that can lead to, feeling a little bit different with commitment and the way that you might respond to. So the shadow side of commitment would be like a not ever committing or not following through on commitments. That's a shadow side of commitment. Another shadow side of commitment is extreme attachment. So not like a healthy commitment, but like an obsession. So you could go from obsession as a shadow side all the way to total neglect. And neither one of those are healthy or fun or expressions of somebody who's, worked through their trauma, drama stuff. So we're also, what was, I'm gonna just look at my list because I had a few things on my list. Of what was I talking about today? Oh, well, I lost my list. Oh, well, let me get creative. So, part of my list, I can't even see anymore. It's all good. I've said so many quotes that my chat room is filled. And so, one of the other things is looking at how trauma is part of this, right? So I have mentioned trauma a few times in here, and that's probably how we end up with the shadow sides of all the love languages, is because we haven't healed some core trauma issues, and probably why we often do more, which people please, which can actually make things a lot worse. And one of the things you want to be aware of is how you have your fight or flight or fawn responses during intimacy. So your fight response and intimacy might actually lead you to having very aggressive sex, or just always needing to have a fight in order to make up, to have things like make up sex or to find resolution, thinking that fighting is the key to growth. Fighting's not the key to growth. There can be friction and there can be differences, and there can be conversation and that can lead to growth, but it doesn't have to be a fight. You don't have to agree on everything. In fact, it's probably better you don't, but it is healthy to be able to have conversation that leads to better understanding and growth, and having the conversations that will lead to that. So when you look at, you know, fight in relationship and intimacy can be a lot of things. And then, you know, flight is just when somebody takes off and they can't deal. And people can go through that for a while. And then what they do need to do when they are in flight mode and they do love the person, but they don't really know what to do, is just say, I need space right now. And can we come back to this and then give them a timeline? Because a lot of times when you're in flight, the other person's going to feel abandoned. So you need to give them like a timeline. I'll be back in like 2 hours to talk about this, or can we talk about this tomorrow? I just went through a bunch of stress on the weekend and my husband was like, and I gave him the lowdown. I'm like, I don't need solutions right now. I feel stress. I need to get it out of my brain. I need to say a bunch of shit. It wasn't about him at all. And then he was like, okay, so do you need about 2 days for your body to process this? I'm like, yeah, I think I need about 2 days for my body to process this. So until then, unless I'm asking for some specific information, I don't really want to talk about it. I just want to process it. And so that's being clear with the person, but that's also how I operate, is I need to figure things out. I need to create solutions, and then I will bring my solutions to the table to see if they're viable. All right, I'm going to head to my last commercial break. And because why not? It's the end of the show. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So tonight we're talking about the shadow side of love languages and commitment. And I hope I'm coming across and making sense with this stuff, because there are definitely shadow sides to these things. And I think sometimes we neglect that and we're just like, well, this is me showing love. You know, I've completely enmeshed you, and that's me showing love by spending crazy amounts of time with you, but also trying to like soak up your life and be so part of it that there's no distinguishing me from you. So these shadow sides can give us insight into maybe where we can have room for improvement. And the shadow sides also are good things to become aware of, because as much as we might deem them to be, this is me showing love, it's actually not. They're probably 99% of the time your nervous system reacting to something, whether it's feeling abandoned. So you're maybe then in fawn because you're trying to like overly please the person to like stay so that you're not abandoned, or you might, you know, feel flight where when they feel flight, so it's like, you abandon me, well, I abandon you. You might want to fight them to be like, why are you leaving me? You might just stay frozen, right? So there's different responses that can be happening to love languages, and a lot of those shadow aspects are probably, I'd say, I can't say 100% because I haven't done research on this, but I'd say it's highly likely that when people have and are operating from the shadow sides of the love languages, that they are having their nervous system dysregulated. And one of the things they're trying to do is get regulation back. So I was talking about a little bit about like the hypersexuality. And hypersexuality is now starting to be recognized as something that's more of a response to try and regulate your nervous system. It's not a love language. It's not necessarily somebody seeking love through sex, because actually, as much as sex could be one of the dialects of the touch love language, it's not the definition of what the what physical touch means. Physical touch does not actually equal sexual and anything necessarily, especially not sexual access. Well, if you love me, then you can have sex with me whenever. No, consent is important. And also, yeah, I just think that I hear from a lot of people, they make up love languages all the time too. They've never maybe even read them. They're like, my love language is kittens. I'm like, what? No, you might enjoy cats, so maybe your love language is quality time that you're spending with cats, or it could be that you like petting cats. So your quality time and your love of cats comes down to the physical touch of the cats. But it doesn't mean that your love language is cats. Do you know what I'm saying? All right. So you have to look at the dynamics of what you're doing with, or maybe you love the acts of service of looking after, a bunch of kittens that are harmed or something. So you want to like take care of them, and that's acts of service. I'm throwing kittens in there because we just recently ended up with two more. Now we got four kitties in our life. Four crazy outdoor wild munchkins running around, going cuckoo. So one of the things, and I think I have enough time to do this. Or if you've never actually gone through and like checked out the love languages, go grab the book by Gary Chapman. You can get it on audio, you can get it physical, you can get variations of the love languages, because there's like how to use the love languages with your children, how to use, anyway, it's all basically all the fundamentals are in the original book, and you can just, translate that through all your relationships. So one of the things that I think is good to know when playing with the love languages is how to know which ones actually help you feel at ease. So does the thought of being or experiencing touch help you feel at ease, or does it put your back up? My mom, for example, like touch is the lowest on the, and maybe almost non-existent on her chart of love languages. And she's, although we all have them all, say if she had a percentage, hers would be like 0.5. And so for her, when you mention things like hugging her or something, she'll like get her back up. In fact, in her office, her, clients might want to hug her, and she has a sign up that hugs are $250, or maybe they're $450 now. I don't know. They go up every once in a while. Her other rates hardly ever go up, but her hug rates, they go up. So is thinking about these love languages, do they help you feel calm or soothed, or do they activate you and make you like aggressive, like your backup? So if you're feeling soothed by them, then you're probably operating with them in a fairly healthy way. If you're feeling like your back is up with them, then there may be things to look at to consider. Maybe you felt like some of your love languages were violated. Touch is one that often gets violated. Same with words of affirmation. If you've grew up in a family where people just said nasty things to each other all the time, then, words of affirmation can be very important, but also you might not believe people even when they say nice things to you. So we have these shadow sides to the love languages, and I think the more we understand them, the more that we can actually tap into the positive aspects of the love languages and have them be healthy in our lives. We're going to talk more about these next week, by the way, so continue.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.